Welcome to the Flatlands Field and Foul Podcast with your hosts, Dwayne Dirksen and Tanner Friesen. Stay tuned for all kinds of hunting talk, outdoors talk, various other topics. You're sure to have a good time. You're in good hands.
Who's back?
Back again.
I don't actually know how that song goes.
I'm sorry. That's an Eminem song.
I know that
little,
much.
A little urban for you.
But, you know, yeah, that's about all I know of that song.
All right.
Well, No, yeah. Shady's back.
Tell a friend. Actually, the Flatlands boys are back. Tell a friend. Yeah.
Tell a friend.
This is episode 16.
Is that including our crossover?
No.
Okay. So, 16 of our own...
Yes.
Of 16 of brand. The normal
two-man
Flatlands Field and
Foul. Two-man, one microphone. That sounds a lot.
That's a little... Yikes. Tighten up.
Tighten up. Get in there.
I had to get one out. Had to get one in there.
Get in there.
Shout out to Theo Vaughn. If you guys haven't checked out his podcast, check out This Past Weekend and The King and the Sting. Great guy. Great mullet.
The road to the strap goes through the rat.
I'm gonna tickle that nickel. I'm the Fonz with the bronze, daddy.
So when's the last time we were live? Or not live, but recording ourselves? I think March, February?
Well, we were talking about wind chill. That was the last episode.
Yeah, we got in a bit of a heated one that day.
That was a heater!
And no, we haven't been on non-talking terms since then.
No,
probably thought.
Yeah, we have been continuing to keep the communication lines open.
Just have been, you know, busy with life and Slack and... here we are.
Didn't put the effort in.
Did not.
Also,
can confirm did not put the effort in.
Schedules did not allow for it in some parts of life.
Yeah.
We
were going to do one a few weeks ago, and then that didn't
just
work
fell out. Through, and then last night fell through.
Yeah.
But tonight we're getting her in.
Tonight we're here. It's not going to be a super, super long one, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. Tuesday, September 3rd.
Yeah, 9 p.m.
9:04.
Both the boys have to go to work in the morning.
Yeah, boys got to make some money. Because what time of year is it, Dwayne?
It's hunting season.
It's hunting season.
You excited?
I'll be honest with you right now. This is probably the least fired up I've been for hunting season in my entire life.
Okay.
I have not been... You know, years prior, especially the last 2 years, the opening day was like Christmas for me. I couldn't wait to get out there and just, you know, see what Mother Nature...
Bling!
Yeah, hopefully, blouch. Blouch an old...
Blouch!
Blouch an old big booner. But, I don't know, this year it was a little different for me. I
was hoping you were going to give me a sarcastic answer with that, but I...
No.
That you're legit.
No, it wasn't even a sarcastic answer. I have not been... Not been as excited this year. I think a lot of it has to do with the ending of my hunting season last year.
Yeah.
With the way that I got meat in the freezer, I'm actually quite disgusted with myself that way.
Don't worry about it.
I know. And it's something I need to look past. But it has also been very warm around these parts.
Yeah.
For the exception of the last couple days and this weekend, actually. I mean, I wasn't here this weekend, but...
It was
it was raining.
Than normal.
Yeah, it was raining all weekend, I heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was out fishing.
Well, I was out hunting.
Getting miles.
It's season. It's season now, but I'll tell you, coming into this fall season now, I've been a little bit depressed because my spring bear season was a complete bust. I run heavy baits all spring.
Yeah, you did.
But I literally, I spent a lot of time out there too, and I saw one bear.
Yeah.
I saw more bears on the one day that I actually guided for the first time ever.
There's some news.
I'm a guide now.
Official
licensed
guide.
Manitoba hunting guide.
Flatlands Field and Foul Outfitters.
Wow.
Can't find them on Instagram yet.
And I've literally guided one hunt.
Hey, it was an experience.
It was a great time. I had a client from the States. He was a real cool dude. We had a good time, and he gave me a rave review to my buddy that runs the outfitter, and
hey,
he wants to be back next year.
Be back next year.
I am guessing I'll be be spending some time guiding bears next year.
Hey, more than one hunt, I'd hope.
And focusing a lot less on my own personal bait, I'm guessing. So
it might not be a bad thing.
Yeah.
Take a little breather.
Take a little breather, yeah.
Not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah. Take a little breather and focus on guiding and putting on miles, because next year, this year I ran the half marathon on Father's Day.
That's right, yeah.
Big for the Manitoba Marathon, and next year I plan to run the full, so it'll be a lot of bear guiding and training at that time, I'm guessing. In the spring season leading up to, it's normally on Father's Day, so this year was June 16th, so I guess next year would be June 14th. I think it's a leap year coming up. So time of year.
Could be.
A lot of, yeah, guiding, hopefully, and just putting in miles and training.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. So, I got to ask.
Okay.
We've had some conversations after a crossover podcast that we both
with
did.
Our friends.
Reginald.
Reginald and Randy.
And Randy there at the 2-8s podcast. They're blowing up.
They are.
Doing well, like, good for those boys.
They're beating us.
Yeah, they are.
They're beating us with a stick.
They've also had
a
lot more guests.
Yes, they've had guests.
Yeah, we haven't had guests. We've never done a guest. We do need to work on getting a guest.
Yeah.
That would be a fun episode.
We'll get a guest one day. But I won't guarantee it's next week, week after. Because who knows when the next episode is. So
exactly.
This is pure gold, folks.
Yeah, you guys are getting a little into the season action.
Yeah.
This should be getting you hyped. Me hyped right now.
I should be on my way. We should be on our way back from hunting this evening.
Yeah.
But instead, we took time out of our busy schedules.
Busy.
Boys and girls. Busy. Okay.
Yeah. Tight schedules. We're running a tight ship over here.
This is a tight ship. There is little to no seconds to spare this fall.
No. But the good news is we'll find some. We'll scrape some seconds together, put them in a pile, put them in a savings account. We'll withdraw them when we need them.
Yeah.
So, I got to ask. You brought it up. Is there any new Flatlands Field and Foul news regarding the podcast?
I think there is. We're changing up our format a little bit.
Hey, there it is.
We're changing it up a little bit. It's not going to be completely, you know, at the hunting world, at the, you know,
NASCAR world, UFC. Fight world.
It's going to be kind of just about anything in general.
Let's bring up what's going on in life.
What is going on in life, man?
Hit us up on Instagram. Tell us what's going on. We'll read some of the best ones.
Yeah.
We could get some current events.
Let me know. Let us know.
I mean, we're not going to turn it into a big political debate, but if there's something you want to hear, let us know.
I'll tell you where I stand on an issue.
And I'll tell you where I stand. Or sit. Either or.
Or lay down, because a guy's got to take a snooze every now and again.
Yeah. I'm dreaming about beavers. that's pretty exciting with the new format. Obviously, to try it out. And I mean, this is kind of our first shot at it. This is another Mugs Bannering.
Yeah, although, you know, since it is season now, I mean, there's probably going to be a hefty dose of hunting talk.
Yeah, and I think, you know, personally looking at it, I think that kind of cornered us in the off seasons of hunting, because we didn't really have anything to talk about, because generally the off season of hunting falls in with the off season of NASCAR.
Yeah.
So, and what are you going to talk about?
You know, we haven't exactly had the craziest of experiences the last few years.
No.
I mean, some of it here and there has been pretty wild
pretty
and awesome.
Neat, yeah.
But we've shared that.
Yeah, you can't keep being a dead horse.
Yeah, there's only so many times you can hit it before
it just, it rots, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the maggots get it.
And it's just, then at the point you're going to hit it, it's just going to spray back at you.
and then you probably, you're probably a few in by then, you forgot your safety goggles anyways.
Oh, so easily. You're getting some blagna in the eye.
That's going to take a few showers to get rid of that.
Tomato juice.
Yeah.
I think that would get
tomato juice in the creek.
Yeah, that'll get rid of some dead horse funk. Chad, tell us a little bit about guiding. I'm super curious to hear the story of the guiding, because I mean, it came up super last minute, did it not?
Well,
or was it in the works for a while?
It was kind of in the works for a few months. Like, okay, I've known this guy for a couple of years now. I met him through friend of a friend, whatever, and this year he hit me up and talking about, hey, maybe I'll have a chance for you to come out and guide.
Yeah.
So, okay. So then I got to work and got licensed up, and nothing ever came of it. You know, I got my certificate in the mail, whatever. And all of a sudden he hits me up. He's like, okay, how many days can you take off work this week? I'm like, wow, let me check. You know, And of course, we were super busy that week. I mean, we've been super busy like all year, so it's been just like it's been hard to get off for anything, really.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I can get you one day this week, and it was the last week. Sorry. It was the second last week of bear season. In our area here, in the area where he outfits. It's like, okay, they were running for the last week as well, but anyways, I couldn't get off that week anyways. Yeah. Plus I ended up training for the half marathon. So I was like, first of all, I need to go sit in my own bait and try to get myself a bear. And I need to be training because
half marathons don't run themselves.
No. I mean, I didn't specifically train for it per se, but
yeah,
I mean, my levels where I was at was adequate anyways. And I ran a pretty decent time for a first one.
Yeah, absolutely.
1 hour, 40 minutes. So look that up and you'll say, hey, that's not too bad for a first time. There was 2,580 participants in the half.
Okay.
And I placed 202nd. So that is within
the elite.
That's within the top 8%.
You're in the elite.
So... And I know there's a couple races coming up now in Winnipeg in the next couple weeks. I'm very tempted to be entering, but it's also waterfowl and bow season.
Yeah.
So I'm a little torn, but however, the competitiveness in myself sure comes out to play.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But guiding. Anyway, so it was an awesome experience. It was a Friday, so we weren't, you know, doing anything super crazy. When I got to camp and kind of helped the guys out, we skinned out a bear and from the previous night. And, you know, we got to know some of the clients there and some of the other guides. And we hung out for a little while. And then eventually I took my client out to the bait and, you know, went out and baited some other ones nearby and stood by and waited for him to let me know if he was successful or not, and went and pulled him out later on. We took the hour and a half drive back to camp and got back super late.
Which is part of the fun.
Part of the fun, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely.
And overall, it was a great experience. I'm super glad I did, and I hope I can get many more experiences like that or better.
So you,
or I should say more successful, perhaps. But
I mean, obviously, you didn't run into all the types of hunters, but I know the one thing that I struggled with when I was in the Yukon was dealing with the sport hunters and how everything was just a trophy to them. And not even like a, you know, a trophy. It was more of a game to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I got my 7 stone for my slam, my grand slam. And it's like, man, you're kind of taking some of the respect off the animal. Yeah. Like, you just killed it. 10-year-old ram, like that's rare as is. Now you're gonna, like, it's just that it's number 7 to you, right? I don't know. I found I had such a hard time. Like, I remember coming home and seriously debating whether to sell my hunting stuff because I was so, like, I was so torn. Turned off.
Yeah,
and I think part of that is why I just haven't been so fired up this year is just because. I mean, that left such a lasting impression on me. And not saying they're bad guys at all. Like, I mean, hell, if you got 50 grand to drop on a ram hunt, I would do it if I had 50 grand.
Yeah.
If I had multiple 50 grand ram hunts, I'm sure I would. I'd like to think I'd be different, but I mean, who's to say?
Yeah.
But
see, I didn't run into that with the guys I met there. It was, you know, the one guy had his kid out.
So nice.
Most of the guys that I run into were from, I think, from South Dakota and North Dakota.
Okay.
And so they all drove up, like the guys I was talking to.
They're not flying in from Mexico or Montana.
There were some other guys there I didn't get a chance to get to know at all, but these guys, like I think I got to know 5 guys there or something, 4 or 5. And they'd all driven up themselves, and I think 3 of the 4 were successful when I was there. And the young kid, I think, did he get one? No, I think the young kid, he's probably about 14, 15. He didn't manage to get one this year. Last year, I believe he had taken a giant.
Really?
Yeah. But the vibe I got was like they just really love to come up here and hunt with this outfit. And they're not spending 50 grand on this. They're spending, I think it was 4 or 5. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah.
So
still a chunk of change.
Though. But To me, it seems chances are with, you know, the difference in price, like 50 grand to like four or five or whatever it is, yeah. like under 10 for sure. You're going to get a different crowd to yeah. some effect. You're not
totally.
You're going to get a little bit more down home, you know,
blue collar folk
that are, you know, they want to put some work in and they want to experience it. And
they want to enjoy their time.
Yeah. And they want to, you know, they want to enjoy the camp life.
Yeah.
And they want to get a nice trophy, obviously, but they want to take everything home and they're going to be thankful when it's all through. And they're not going to be out there flying high and mighty and just looking for this and that, like looking for a slam or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I met some real cool blue collar folk when I was in UConn. One of the hunters there, actually, he said this is the only out of state hunt he'll ever get to do. And he spent $50,000. He said he saved up for 20 years to go on this hunt. And he took a ram, a caribou, and I believe a grizzly. He didn't get the moose.
Okay.
Which is, he was fine with. He didn't really want a moose. He just said he didn't have room for it in the trophy room. But actually, I just got a text late last night from Mexicans Junior.
Oh, the Mexican. Okay.
Yeah. He messaged me asking if I had the senior guide out there, Logan, his sat phone number. And I got a new phone. I didn't have that number anymore. And I'm like, no, why? What's up? He goes, oh, I just got a text from my dad saying he shot a giant moose. So Senior got his moose this year. Junior got it. If you guys remember the story, if not, go back and listen to the Yukon story.
Whitetail time feet the Yukon story.
Right? Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. Which would have been
September.
We'd be coming
late September.
Up, no, mid-September. I was back mid-September.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So it'd be coming up on almost a year ago.
Dang.
Well, because a year ago, a couple days ago, I was on a flight at 4 a.m. heading to Vancouver. So Senior got his moose this year. I haven't seen any pictures. Junior was supposed to send me some pictures, but I haven't gotten any.
That's
yet,
wild,
so.
Man. That's yeah. awesome.
Yeah. But I mean, that's so 2 years, Senior and Junior went, and now Senior went, so that's $150,000.
Right? Pocket change.
Yeah.
Like, just a drop in the bucket.
In 2 years. Yeah. Like,
Dang.
That's a lot of cash.
That's a house. So, are you tempted to, you know, get a license from Manitoba now? And just whether or not if you do anything with it, just have that option kicking around?
Oh, absolutely. I think I would. Yeah, in a heartbeat I would.
Because I'm definitely glad that I have mine now and I'm set.
Because it's not strictly for bear.
No.
You are a Manitoba guide.
Yeah. I believe it's transferable to other places in Canada.
Ontario,
I believe probably Ontario. Saskatchewan, Alberta, I believe.
Not Alberta. Alberta has their separate guide test.
Okay.
Just because of the fact that they have such a vast change in species with the elks.
Yeah.
You're shooting big old
Rocky
screamers.
Mountains.
Another cool thing about fishing trip, heard a couple elk screams.
Hang on. We didn't even talk about that. Let's step it back here.
Okay, let's backtrack.
So, recent events. This past weekend. This past weekend with Theo Vaughn.
With Theo Vaughn, not with
featuring
Theo
Bishop Gunn.
Oh.
Check them out. They're a pretty wicked band.
Oh, they're great. Anyways, they are stellar.
Let's hear about this past weekend.
So, me and a couple of the work guys, we decided we were going to head up to Quesnel Lake.
So where is that?
So it's about an hour.
Roughly speaking.
But an hour north of Bessette, Manitoba.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a hike. It's about a 4.5-hour drive. Yeah, you're in the stirrup. You're in the thick of it.
Okay.
So
I didn't realize I was that far north.
Yeah, it was 4.5 hours from Steinbeck.
You had very little to no service.
Yeah. Well, I had decent service on the island actually, but my phone died because everybody else was using my charging pack without me knowing, and I went to go plug my phone in, and my charging pack was dead.
Funny how that works.
Yeah, that's what I said too. So,
fellas,
it was actually—it's quite the crazy story to get there.
Pull that up there. It's current events here. Let's see.
That's not a current event that I need to tackle right now.
Just a text message on his phone
from a person,
a living, breathing,
a human. Anyway, so I bought a boat, About a month ago. Bought a boat.
We went for a little boys trip to Winnipeg and picked up a boat.
Picked up a little 16-foot fiberglass Chrysler. a 71 Chrysler. The boat has been the death of me since.
But it floated, did it not?
It floated.
Did it run?
So I'm getting there. So it came with an 85 horse.
The guy question said, is, did it run, folks?
We'll loop around. So the 85, said the guy said needed a coil and ended up needing a power pack. It was a 3-day wait and $500 to get a new power pack. So I said, boat's not worth it. So
it's not worth it.
I bought a 75 horse for the power pack. Turns out that power pack was shot as well.
Tough go.
So I bought a 45 horse
Chrysler.
It ran. We got it on the boat thanks to some great MacGyvering by Dwayne.
Hey,
that was stellar. So
few ideas I picked up over the years.
So the problem I had now was hooking
up. Hang on. Would you call that being long in the tooth?
That was long in the tooth for sure.
All right. Carry on.
So the problem I was having was the throttle and gear selector controls, like the cables, from the 85 to the 45 were different.
Oh.
They're different plates.
After we mounted it up so nice.
And I sold the 85 motor, the 85 and the 75, with the plates on it. All I had to do was take the plates off, but I didn't end up doing that. I thought they lined up. I should have looked. My own fault. So Thursday night, we left Friday. Thursday night at 8:30, I am hustling to get this thing put back together. I get the motor ready. It's all, you know, that's all good. Get the power trim working. That's fine. And I go to hook up the throttle controls. I don't have the plates. So I had to bush rig a system. And I thought it was going to work. So I texted my lead hand and he's like, yeah, bring it down. We'll take it to the pits and we'll float it. Just make sure it works before we go up. Right on. I was confident.
Of course you're confident.
So
you're always confident.
11:30, we launched the boat onto the pits. Fired up. Nothing. So I'm cranking.
Nothing. Sweating.
Yeah, I'm like, oh shit, I'm floating because I don't even have a paddle on the boat at this point. And so anyway, I get it going. Go to hit the throttle. Cables don't work. So I had to go to the back. It's a 16-foot boat. Okay? So I had to go to the back, pull the gear selector cable, run to the front, turn the wheel, run to the back, throttle up, run to the front, turn the wheel, throttle up, like just running back and forth. So we got the boat off finally at about 12:45.
Is this AM or PM?
AM.
Bright and early.
Dark
and early.
I get home at about 1. I go to bed. I got to pack for the next day. I end up getting called into work. I wasn't supposed to be in. Get called into work. Kaz goes and picks up a 20 horse. Just slaps it on there. We fire it up. It runs. So we ended up taking our 20 horse on a 16-foot fiberglass boat packed full of probably 900 pounds of gear and 3 guys. It was a fun trip. I had fun, but it was a lot of adversity to get there. The boat, I mean, obviously I would have loved to have the 45 horse going. That boat would have skimmed across the water. The 20 horse pushed it. But never really fast enough to, you know, get anywhere fast. So we fished basically locally around our island. We couldn't find our island, so we just camped on a random island, which I'm sure I'll hear about yet.
So it ran.
It ran. The boat floated. The motor ran. We caught fish.
My next question.
I was a couple inch shy of a master smallmouth.
Dang.
Sadly, that was, we only spent probably about 2 hours fishing the whole weekend. The other two fellows I was with were more interested in the extracurriculars of pounding back liquor.
I see.
As where I was more interested in getting a line in. But
A line in the liquor?
No, a line in the water.
A line in the liquor with your vision?
Yeah. Mixed drinks about feelings.
Yeah.
It was a very fun experience and I mean, I learned a lot about it. I can't wait to do it again next year. I don't think I'll have time this year as I do want to start making it out to bowl.
It's hunting season, folks.
It's hunting season. I don't exactly hunt fish.
Well, you could. Well,
you could hunt
there fish. There is, I places guess, yeah, where I think there's like the carp and everything.
Oh, the bowfish. Yeah, I would love to do that. That's on my bucket list for sure. Yeah. I'd love to bowfish.
Yeah. Next year, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I also next year
then a guy's gonna buy a
moose hunt.
Guy's got to go buy a bow fishing rig.
Yeah, then they may as well. Then I'm thinking, well, may as well buy a new bow to put a new bow fishing rig on. And then it just works backwards. So I might as well just stick to what I got.
But you can keep your bow right now, put that bow fishing rig on
this one,
and then buy the new Matthews or whatever. New,
get in there!
You know, get that sucker outfitted and real nice.
Oh, man. I test shot that bow.
Down in USA.
Down in America.
And land of the free and home of the brave.
Land of the free because of the brave.
There you go.
That was excuse me. That was the best bow I've ever shot in my life. I spoiled myself and I shouldn't have shot that bow.
Don't worry about it.
I did shoot an RX3 turbo while I was there.
A Hoyt.
I mean, I was impressed by it. It's a great bow. It just felt a little more shaky in my hand, especially on the let off, or after releasing the arrow, it felt like it vibrated a lot. So, yeah, you know, I don't know. I dabble maybe next year once it's a year old, and maybe they work some kinks out of it and see what they have to offer.
But I mean, they're Matthews.
That's what I mean. Like, I'd probably dabble in the Matthews next year.
Or the year after.
We'll see.
Due time, folks.
In due time.
Why you know?
Unless they're going to send me one. If you want my P.O. box, Matthews, DM me. I'll run one for you.
You know, I'll gladly switch to Matthews, too. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hit us up, Matthews.
I'm in.
Or Prime. Or
Hoyt.
Or Bojack. Or APA or
really anybody.
Hit us up.
Yeah, we'll try out some gear for you guys. We'll try out some gear. Some broadheads.
Might not send it back, but
no, oh, it is for sure not.
Hey, Slick Trick. You guys like my pictures on Instagram and reply to my messages, so I mean you can just send me a few
Send some broadheads.
Send some of them broadheads. Hey,
Slick Trick. Send me something that'll convince me to go away from my rage hypodermics.
Yeah, Slick Trick, we got this. We got this, Slick Trick. Me and you, Slick Trick, we're in this together. We're going to switch this guy over.
We'll see.
So that was a good September long.
Yeah, it was a good September long. I mean, I would have loved to have been, again, fishing more.
Okay.
Next year, I know the boat will be a little more ready. The boat really wasn't ready.
Okay, we know how this is going to work. So it's going to sit idle until about
2 weeks before I leave.
Until about 1 week before you leave, you're going to be like, oh, no.
Shit, now I got to hustle. And then I'll hustle and get it done, and then it'll be half-assed, and I'll be pissed off about it again. And then I'll say the same thing next year.
And I'll tell you, put those oar ports on there and buy yourself some oars, because you go faster than that 20 horse in a how.
That thing actually hummed pretty good.
Anyways, it'll be more reliable than
empty it hummed, and I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was a definitely a fun experience, and I mean, I could definitely do that, you know, in summer.
Yeah.
A lot more in summer. That would be pretty fun. Saw a couple bears.
Okay.
Nothing big. I did bring my bow out.
Did you?
I did, yeah. I brought it with for the off chance that, you know, an old black decided to swim to the island and come sniff around the boys. I figured I could put a swift hypodermic in the vitals. But
no dice.
Alas, the opportunity never presented itself. Heard some elk screaming. That was super neat.
Damn.
I was so taken back by that. So I was sitting on the... Me and Kaz were sitting. We're fishing maybe, you know, 40 feet off the point, off a point.
Okay.
And we are hammering bass. Just pulling them up. And, well, Kaz is hammering them. I caught my...
You caught one.
I caught one. Kaz would get them up to the water and then they'd spit the hook out because he didn't set the hook ever. So anyways,
the guy can't see out of one eye.
Yeah, he can't. Yeah, exactly. The one-eyed wonder. But all of a sudden I hear, like, it sounded exactly like a little girl screaming. And I was like, my first thought was, somebody's lost. I'm like, and I looked at Kaz, I'm like, should we go help him? He goes, what is that? And I'm like, I know that sound from somewhere. And then I hear it. And I kid you not, it sounded like he was maybe 30 feet in a bush. Just, and I was like, instant goosebumps.
Like that Joe Rogan sound.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness.
Like, I was like, I had my chest rig on, I grabbed my binos, and I was like, trying to see where.
Throw a fishing rod in the water. We're done here, boys. We're done.
I'm going again. I'm getting the bowls. If this is a big old wapiti,
we're going.
We are going after this thing. But no, it was. That was probably the most excited I've been for anything hunting related this year.
Yeah.
Besides seeing. Maybe we'll get to that story another time.
Besides seeing a certain whitetail.
What I think is a certain whitetail.
Fair enough.
But yeah, that got me excited to hunt elk one day. That sounds cool. It sounds almost exactly what you think it would sound like. That's the weirdest thing. Like, you know, you hear it, but I don't know about you, but I think often, like, you hear people do it with a reed or you hear it on YouTube, and it's just, for me, it's never the same as hearing it in person.
Unless if you hear Remy Warren doing it, it's not the same.
Exactly. But
or like, Giannis.
It could have been some dude in the bush with a reed. Like, it sounded exactly like what my wildest dreams said it would sound like. It sounded like it was probably a 6x6 big bodied cheap
Manitoban elk.
Just screaming. Man, that was cool. Yeah. Yeah, I wish I would have been able to get that on video. But, yeah, it was. And he only bugled twice.
Okay.
So the first one, I mean, again, I didn't really. I heard
you're
it.
You're taken aback, so it's tough to remember that probably.
Yeah, and then it took me a minute before my hunter brain kicked in. And, like, you're in an area of elk. Like, that could be an elk. And then when I heard the second.
It was also woodland caribou in that area, general area as well.
Yeah, but hopefully. Woodland caribou don't make noise.
No, but. Nonetheless,
you could have seen
general area.
Yeah.
Potential.
Yeah. Because we're no moose. Yeah. There's a lot of moose tracks that we see.
Yeah, I believe that.
It'd be a really cool area to hunt. I would definitely be interested in probably grabbing a couple tags and strutting around there for a little while. Seeing what you could see.
Forgo the fishing trip next September.
Yeah,
oh,
maybe
boy.
Just bring a boat.
Just bring a few bows out.
But yeah, so that was super neat. I'm definitely looking forward to going back there again and maybe seeing what a fella can see.
Yeah. You see any deer?
Yeah, I seen a couple does. One real big body doe that actually, it took me back. I thought it was a buck. I was sitting broadside maybe 125 yards in the middle of a wheat field, freshly down wheat field.
Okay.
So I had to stop the truck anyway, so I stopped the
truck.
Oh,
while you're rolling up. Okay.
Yeah, and I quickly rifled to the back and grabbed my binoculars and looked, and I was like, that's a... Because when I saw the body, I'm like, shit, that's a buck.
Big old buck.
Yeah, and like, you know, from 125 yards, you know, sometimes, especially with the sun setting, like, can't tell if it's got antler. So I quickly ripped out the binos, and yeah, sure enough, it was just a big body doe. Seen a couple little sheds that I didn't pick up, like just on the trail in.
Yeah.
Because it's got about a 10K trail that's up and down and side to side, kind of a turkey trail idea. So it's kind of hard to get to, which is great. It's great.
You see anybody else out there?
So we got there Friday night. Friday night we ran into a couple that we ran into at Deacon's Corner, actually. We stopped to take the motor off the boat and just put it in the back of the boat, like off the transom into the boat. They had stopped to see if we needed help. We're like, no, we're good. Like, it's all good. I'm like, okay, see you later. Not thinking anything, but we went two different ways. And we pulled into the lodge there. Maybe we'll drop the at on the Instagram post or maybe whatever. It's for Q Lake Lodge. If you guys are looking for some of the best fishing I've ever experienced in my life, obviously not September long, but I've been up there a few times and some of the best fishing I've ever had in my life has been there. And I mean, we got an island deal for three days, two nights was $120. Okay. Like for a secluded island, it's just you. So we ran into them at the lodge. And then we ran into another set of campers on a different island, just to ask them a question. And then we saw one other boat Saturday, and then Sunday we passed about six boats coming in. I guess they were fishing for the day.
Yeah.
Big bass trackers and whatever, big
money.
People that, either know how to fish or like to look how they know.
Ah, yes.
Like they look like they know how to fish. But other than that, it's very secluded. It's, I mean, you're kind of at the edge of civilization there when you're up that far. I mean, you're in gold mining country. It's all gravel road for the last basically hour.
After Lacubani, pretty much gravel
road. After Pinawa Pine View, yeah. You have about an hour of pavement and then you've got another hour of gravel. I mean, it's a nice wide gravel, but for the most part. But
that goes up and down, up. And I've been up that road a few times.
Yeah,
the 30, Gem Lake there.
The 304.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great little fun little road. It'd be fun to take that in like a rally car in winter, just drift, miss all that thing.
That drift hitter.
Get in there. But yeah, so going forward, I guess, what's your plans for bow?
Well,
where are you?
I mean, you talk about September long. I got some September.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Can you tell me about your September? Yeah. Sorry. I completely forgot about your doozy of a September long.
Well, boys.
Okay.
We'll be right back after this quick hitter of a message here. This episode is brought to you by Stonebridge Auto in Steinbach, Manitoba. If you're looking for some vehicle repair while you're out on your hunting trip, or you need to buy yourself a new used vehicle, stop on by. Check them out. Steinbach, Manitoba, right across the road from Penner International in the heart of Steinbach.
You know, you're driving through a rutty field and you blow out an A-arm, who are you going to call?
Stonebridge Auto.
You're got a check engine light on. Everybody's got a check engine light on. I don't care who you. You check engine lights come on from factory. I think now. I think it's just a feature that they
pretty
just
much
on. Yeah, they'll do that. They'll take care of that for you.
Or better yet, if you're driving a Duramax and you're having some problems, stop in because those guys there, they know the Duramaxes.
They do
front to back, back to front, boy,
up to down, roof rack to tire studs.
There you go.
Well, I don't know if they do tire studs, but they'll take care.
They do tires.
They do tires.
I don't know if they want to put in studs.
Yeah,
I
mean, probably not.
Who really wants to put?
Who's putting studs in tires anymore?
Just well, actually, a lot of people are.
Yeah, just pay
for wintertime, but it's actually illegal to run studs right now.
Yeah.
Until what? Until October 31st?
Could be.
Something.
I'm not.
Anyways, Stonebridge Auto.
Check them out.
Check them out. They're on the Instagram, on the Facebook. Look it up, man. You need some fixing? Call them up. Tell them Flatland sent you.
There's no discount code for that, but just tell them we sent you.
Maybe I'll get a discount
code. Maybe he'll get it. Yeah, maybe we'll get discounts for working on our own rigs. I don't know.
We'll see.
So, but check them out.
September long.
Tell me about it. Let's hear it.
Well, let's back up to what day was it? August 26th, whatever the last Monday of August was. So, opening day of whitetail. I gotta head out in the evening, man, after work. Getting right amped, man. So I headed out for the evening after work. I saw some does and some fawns. I was just stoked, man. Okay, so, you know, obviously I didn't shoot anything yet. But it was good. You know, got out, saw some stuff.
You were in nature.
In nature, back at the farm. Just, oh.
Nostalgia.
Yeah.
It's flowing.
Just flowing, man. Right. Just reeking around, man. It's just...
You can just smell it. No, well, that's why you didn't see nothing. They could smell the nostalgia on you.
Dang, that's good. You know, headed out again on Friday. Again, saw even more does and fawns. I haven't seen any bucks yet there. However, if there's does and fawns, there's got to be a breeder somewhere.
Where there's smoke,
there's fire.
Or water.
What are the two? Where there's smoke, there's males.
Where there's smokes, there's Tanner.
That smoky hitter.
That was a bad joke.
Saturday morning, August 31st, I headed out to Sandylands Provincial Forest and covered some country I've hit numerous times in the last number of years. I didn't see any deer in the flesh. I saw only a few tracks, but what I did see were big tracks. However, most of the time I was walking along wolf tracks. So that's a bit of an issue, Papa, for the
ungulates.
For the huntability of the ungulates.
Yes. So, to stop you in your story a little bit, did you go where we went the first time?
both places.
So you went back into that.
I put 5 miles on back there.
You went into that thick.
I went through Deer Valley.
No, I wasn't talking about Deer Valley. I was talking about the other side, Yanzeed.
Yeah, I went through there too.
Like, where I had that encounter.
I went through there too, boy.
Okay. I was wondering. I didn't know. Because the pictures I'd seen
was Deer Valley.
Was Deer Valley and the trail into Deer Valley.
So I went, I started out, I parked at parking spot number one. The first one we would have gone to, closer to Deer Valley. So yeah. Deer Valley is this saddle that I've only seen deer in the wintertime at around Christmas. And we go there in hunting season and you never see deer in there.
Well, it was also...
You see a sign, but you just actually never see the body.
Well, we had...
For some odd reason.
We had went there because that was... From the experiences we've had. Now, granted, I hadn't had any experiences. Some of the experiences you had, you knew that there was deer in that area.
I'd seen tons of deer.
So we figured, around well, Christmas time, if they're in there with the snow, maybe they're in there while hunting season. Because, right? It was thick in there.
Yeah.
It was thick.
And there's little game trails everywhere.
Yeah. So, I mean... On our limited scouting we did there, that was our best option on Deer Valley as to the second time we hunted that.
Yeah. And we did, remember the one day we did hear one in there? We were called back to us.
Yeah. Yeah, we heard some callbacks. Yeah.
Yeah. But.
So anyways, you hunted Deer Valley.
And I even, from Deer Valley, I went, I went back to the trail. I went down. Actually, I went further west. And followed an old ski trail a ways south, and then hooked up with number two thick area, and even put some miles on.
Oh yeah, because that comes back around. Yeah,
come back around, came back up the hill. Mucked around
where
there for
that
a while.
Trail starts doing that real like where all the side by sides really ripped that trail.
Yeah,
up.
Yeah.
Where we found that unidentified
it was rotting, a cow or something.
Yeah, it was a cow. We weren't quite sure what that was.
Yeah, if that was a.
We thought maybe that was a wolf bait.
Yeah.
I think it was what our conclusion was up until we saw a hoof.
Yeah. But I think it was just somebody was dumping a beef carcass there after butcher.
Yeah, that's what it seemed to be.
Yeah, after a good old farm kill.
Yeah.
Somebody's getting their brisket hitter
and that burger in them.
That 100% lean Angus.
How about that Manitoba beef?
Ooh. So... That was the morning. Evening, I obviously went and scouted geese because that opens September 1st, the next day. September 1st morning, I went out to a old faithful field of mine that I've had permission on for years and years. And hang on, I got to take a quick burp here, folks.
All right.
Oh, no, yeah. It passed on. Anyways, so Monday or Sunday morning, I went out solo. Put up my, whatever it was, 60 decoys or so, nice and blinds, nice and camouflaged up with some local straw. And I was limited, I had the one-man goose limit in about 35 minutes. I was packed up.
Dang.
And made to church on time.
That's got to be... So, okay, let me back you up a little bit here. Last season waterfowl for you was...
I had a tough year, boy.
Could we say miserable?
Yeah, I'd say.
You were pretty down in the dumps when it came to waterfowl. It seemed like nothing went your way. You didn't get the weather you wanted. And when you had the snow...
Actually, I didn't have the weather I wanted.
Did you?
A lot of the time I did. But okay. It just didn't work out a lot
just
of the time.
Nothing. It just wasn't your year.
This was tough.
Yeah, it was tough. It's the game, though. It's the name of the game.
But opening morning, it was pissy raining.
Yep.
It was a nice temperature, but it was pissy raining. The wind was where I wanted it. But the birds, they just cooperated. It was perfect. While I was setting out decoys for the first hour, I usually give myself an hour before shootable light. And it was pissy raining. It was pretty gentle, so it wasn't bad. And it quit. And then right about when I shot my last two birds... Right around 6:45 a.m. And it started to pick up raining. And then it started to rain decently hard. So my whole cleanup was in the pissy rain.
In the mud and rain.
Yeah. And which is fine. I was prepared for it. Wearing my Cabela's Foremost Dry Plus.
Dry Max.
Obviously.
Dry Plus. Yeah, that's right.
And so that went great. That was the best opening morning I've had in a few years now. And so again, later on in the day, you know, obviously went and got my 5 mile run in.
Yep.
I mean, that sounds like I run 5 every day. I don't, but that day I did, the following day I did as well. And the day get before I did, well,
gang, gang, get in there.
So get out there. Sunday evening, go and scout again. Okay, birds are back on that same old field. Well, guess I'm going out there again on Monday, you know. So buddy of mine was ripping around checking fields, so I met up with him and said, Kate, we're going to go out here tomorrow morning again. I had good luck here this morning. He's like, okay, meet you here. And I'll get everything set out the next morning, Monday morning. Get them all set out. We're all camouflaged up.
Blouch!
Back in the blinds, trucks are away. Waiting for birds. Starting to fly, and we were... It was just hot and heavy, man. It was hot and heavy. Same thing as the morning before. Just coming in, we had shots on shots on shots. If we would have had a firing line of guys, we would have just put birds. There would have been excessive amounts of dirt naps.
Hey, that's what you're looking for.
But again, so we were done just after 7 a.m.
Dang.
Packed up. And, you know,
the big guy's smiling down on
you this year. The Lord is looking down saying, hey, you need some meat on that pellet grill, yours.
He's saying, well, hey, my bad for last year. My bad for not giving you what you needed. Here's a great year.
Yeah.
But now...
Here's a great start to the year.
Great start to the year. Sorry.
Also, quick little tangent here. Well, not really a tangent. Sunday morning, first bird of the year was a band. It was banded near Glenella, Manitoba in 2017.
Glenella or Glenlee?
Glenella, which is just east of Riding Mountain National Park.
Uh-huh.
Never been there. I've been to the park, never
did. You got family up that neck of the woods?
Yes. Near, closer to Dauphin, though.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, northwest of there. And Monday morning, one of my birds again, banned from Minnesota this time, kind of close to Fargo or Grand Forks. I can't remember now.
That'd be North Dakota, not Minnesota.
Sorry, it was Minnesota, though. It was
Yeah. Oh, parallel, maybe. Maybe a parallel. Gotcha.
Well, I mean, Grand Forks and Fargo are both... Right along the line, though.
They are riding that line. You can cross a bridge.
It just
depends which side of the city they were
on. To the east of either or. I'd pull up. I'm recording on my phone right now.
That's
right. I'll make a bunch of noise, and then it'll be annoying. And
we don't.
Tyler from Stonebridge will give me a hard time.
He already gives us a hard time about our audio.
I know. And we're going to get it fixed one day.
We'll get it sorted out.
But today is not that
day. Once we have a flagship sponsor, we'll say we'll get some mics.
Stonebridge? Trick? Matthews? Cabela's Canada.
Hey, Cabela's Canada. Speaking of Cabela's Canada.
Your ass made it on.
My ass. Literally, my ass. Jim Shockey liked my ass.
Jim Shockey liked your ass.
Not going to say, hey, hit me up, Jim. Don't slide in my DMs.
I got a connection to Jim.
You do have a connection to Jim.
My bear outfitter buddy that I work for. He works for Jim.
Yeah.
In the fall.
I didn't get the chance to meet Jim, but I did see Eva Shockey in passing.
I met Jim at Cabela's in Winnipeg.
You did. There's a picture. I was actually...
There's a picture.
Oddly enough, I was going through your Instagram.
I looked like a real ugly mug. That was about That was about 2013, and I didn't know etiquette on taking pictures with famous people, and I looked like an awkward mug, but...
How do you take a picture with the granddaddy of hunting?
I don't know.
Jim Shockey.
Put your arm around him and I was
thumbs up for sure.
And I was just like...
Or the point.
In shock. Yeah, in Shockey.
Yeah, I see what you did there. But it took you 16 episodes to make a good joke. I'm kidding.
That's borderline.
I'm kidding.
That's borderline.
No.
You got wrong.
Yeah, that was... So you got... Two outings.
Yeah.
Dang.
Two limits, two bands.
Okay, so now explain to the people that don't understand, what does a band mean to a goose hunter? Like, compare it to like a white-tailed tern.
Oh.
Like, what would it be comparative to a white-tailed animal? Would it be like a drop time?
Yeah.
That'd be the comparable one? I'd say so. They're not terribly, they're rare, but it's like you can still find them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's like... If you're not familiar with bands, so what they do, like wildlife biologists and you know, teaching opportunities, when geese, in certain stages of life, geese can't fly. Certain parts of the year, they can't really fly. Especially when they're young or when they're molting. you know, changing their feathers, then they have a hard time flying. So what you can do, you can go and capture geese. You can put a leg band on a bird or a neck band with a unique number on there, you know, unique to the bird. And so the idea is that once you kill that bird or capture that bird again, you know, where in whatever location you are, you can, that's one way that they study migration patterns and different other, you know, topics under the umbrella of conservation. So, for instance, like I mentioned, you know, the one bird was banded in Glenella, Manitoba, and one was from Minnesota, both in 2017. So now they're getting a better idea of where these birds are traveling.
Yeah.
And then there's the four major flyways in North America. You know, there's Atlantic, Central, Mississippi, and Pacific, I believe it's called. And so they can kind of study, you know, where birds are originating in certain parts of the year, where they fly to, where they return to. And it's all based on, you know, it's all for research and to better our conservation efforts and to better, you know, manage the populations and just to learn about the birds because they're hard to learn about.
They are.
And if you,
they spend most of their life in the sky.
Yeah. And it's not just waterfowl that they'll band. They'll also band songbirds, etc. You know, so anytime you have, if you ever find a bird dead on the side of the road or on the side of where, anywhere, and you see a band on them, check that band out and call the number on them, report it. And you're not going to get in trouble for it.
Nope.
Some people people think that the government's going to be watching you for doing that or you're going to get in trouble. No, you will not.
They actually encourage it.
They encourage
it. They want you to call it. They give you a certificate.
They give you a certificate and they congratulate you. And as a waterfowler, when you have bands, when you get leg bands like that, you know, when you're calling in birds, you wear a lanyard around your neck with your
collar. That was my next question.
So you put them on there, and it's a sign of.
Is it a longness in the tooth, or is it like if you see a dog that runs in there, not an actual dog, but you see a fellow that
you see
that,
a mug
that walks in into the bar maybe, or like into a local coffee shop dressed in Max 5, and he's got, you know, maybe 10, 15 bands. Are you thinking...
He's been around the block.
You're thinking, like, that's a guy I want to have conversation.
That's the guy I want to rub a little knowledge off
of. Yeah, like, hey, let me buy your coffee.
Yeah. Yeah,
tell me exactly. Some things.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So,
typically... Because, you know, the reason I ask... Because if you look in the rodeo world, you see a dude that wears his spurs into a bar, that's the last guy you want to be talking to. That's the last... You just want to stay away from him because... Every cowboy knows you take your spurs off when you're done. It's a simple thing. You don't want to be clink. You want to be, you guys can't really hear it, clink, 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 walking around.
Yeah.
That's not what you want to do. So I was just curious, as a waterfowler, like you don't think it's,
you wouldn't wear them, like, you don't wear your lanyard into public.
Well, no, it's not like you're, if you saw a dude in street clothes wearing his lanyard, you'd think, well, that guy's a bit of a
tool.
That guy's a bit of a tit.
Yeah.
That's what I would think.
Yeah.
That's my own opinion. I think that guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
That guy's a bit of a gomer.
Yeah. Like, did you buy those bands, maybe?
Where'd you get them?
Yeah. Which waterfowler did you maybe murder?
How much did you run your credit card up on eBay?
Exactly. To buy waterfowl bands. Are those legit? That's what I would think. Anyways. So, you will not get in trouble.
Absolutely not.
On the bands.
Absolutely not.
They congratulate you.
They send you a little
declaration.
It's part of managing our population and conservation efforts around North America especially. Report your bands, folks. Report them.
Keep them.
Keep them. Wear them.
It's an honor.
It's an honor to wear them.
How many bands do you have now?
I have four now. You're respecting the species.
You doubled your bands.
I doubled my bands
in two outings.
2 days, man. 24 hours. I'm excited, man. I'm so excited.
You're fired up.
I haven't
seen you this fired up in a while.
I'm fired up, man. I'm fired up.
Ready for hunting season.
I am.
It's going to be hard to get you in the deer woods with the season you're having so far.
I'm excited to just spend some time in the deer woods, boy. I've been seeing action now.
Oh, have you?
And well, like with the does and fawns.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And so I'm excited for everything, really.
All right.
And I've been I've been watching some Remy Warren and Cam Haines elk hunting again. It's been like,
that's dangerous. That is dangerous. That makes a fellow want to break out the checkbook.
Yeah.
And go, let's go. Put me on some big ol'
Wapiti.
So now let's get back to my other question.
Okay.
Moving forward with this deer season now, where are you at? What are you, you know, your first impressions?
I'm fired up.
Ready to go.
I'm ready to go, man.
So do the deer you think you'll head back to unnamed lake? Think you're going to head out that neck of the woods this year?
I don't see why not.
All right.
I don't know how much time I'll be able to spend out there.
That's it. However,
especially if I all of a sudden get into a couple races in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
We'll see.
If you're going to be running. But the nice thing is the weather doesn't look like it's going to be optimal hunting weather in the next.
Well, quote optimal hunting weather.
Yeah. I mean, obviously get out there.
Optimal for the fella.
Yeah. They're going to be great for the fella. But the thing is, fella doesn't need to be sweating up his hunting gear if the deer are going to be sitting in the bottom of a creek bed.
That's true.
Good, maybe a little tidbit for you guys. Hunt the creek beds if it's hot.
Keep an eye on the ridges as well.
Yeah. Look for them goats.
Look for them goat deers.
Yeah, they're wild up there. They're wild. But
they'll get you every time.
Oh, yeah. They're scouting. But, it's actually one thing that I was thinking about actually yesterday. I was talking about it with a friend of mine. And I think I'm probably the most excited for the whitetail.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to getting back out there and learning more about that area and neck of the woods.
Beautiful area.
It's beautiful.
Let's pick some better days this year.
Yeah.
I don't want to be squished, squashed.
Well, in my boots
But I'm probably going to wear my muck boots this year at least.
Well, and with the amount of rain we've had in the last 3 weeks, I'm bringing out the bogs for sure. I'll bring them with. That way I can always just change.
Yeah.
I can always swap them out should it get real squishy.
Yeah.
Like, because last time when we crossed Trapper's Creek,
you got nice.
I got a booter.
You got
and that was booter. Uncomfortable. And even that, not even.
And that was in the early November.
No. Trapper's? Yeah, the Trapper's was November.
Yeah.
But the first one that we did, that
was real steep one. Yeah.
A real steep one. You almost fell down.
Which time?
Yeah, both. The one across from that really nice view we saw on the way back where we thought, wow, this is a great spot. Why didn't we take this trail in?
Yeah.
I
tend to almost fall off of a lot of things. It's pretty normal. I wouldn't be concerned.
But yeah, so I was thinking that would be... I'm excited to do that. I would definitely like to put in an overnight this year for sure. Even if that means, hey, maybe you meet me out there for the morning hunt or whatever it may be. I definitely would enjoy going out there for a night or two. I got some vacation time banked, so
cashing
that in before my year's up.
You get paid out?
No, I have to use it.
You have to use it? That's BS, man.
Not really.
I don't like that.
I mean, I would a payout would be nice.
Mine just rolls up.
I can't because I started last year, so every 2 years I have to
use it up. I don't like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it does suck. It's nice if I wanted to take like if I in theory I could take 2 weeks off and stay in the whitetail for 2 weeks. If I packed enough food in, I could stay there for catch a few fish, hunt and fish for 2 weeks, and then. You know, I'll still get paid for those 2 weeks. But, I mean, obviously, our work is too busy for that. And I can't just leave.
Oh, same in my boat, too.
It's like I have vacation time, but I can't use it because I'm too relied on to go on vacation. And
same here.
I kind of feel, I get made feel bad a little bit if I want to take that time off.
Yep. Same boat, brother.
It's a tough deal, but, I mean... Oh, another little bit of tidbit of news. I decided that I am going to hunt the southern property that we have strictly bow. I won't be going out there once muzzle opens.
The goo?
Yeah, I'll be staying away for muzzle and rifle.
Okay,
I'm sticking out of it. I'm.
So you're gonna hunt the farm after that?
Yeah, I'm gonna start.
Stick around.
I think I'm gonna go out probably. Thursday or Friday evening, okay. I'm going to go out and sit. I got a couple spots that I did a little bit of preseason scouting that are really, really promising. Some from information from last year. So, yeah, I'm excited to go back out there. There's been a
little bit of a revelation. Oh, you seen a bit of a deer in that area.
I seen a buck with very strangely similar, eerily similar characteristics as farm buck. I'm not going to title them farm buck yet, or farm buck 2.0.
Or junior. Or junior.
I was just going to say junior. I was going to drop it to junior.
But 88 car.
The 88.
He ran in the Xfinity
he
race.
He did. The Hellman's.
The Hellman's number 8. He got 5th.
Yeah. Did he?
I believe so.
Dang. Old son can still wheel it. After coming from a car crash? Yeah. Or a plane crash,
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. Gang, gang.
Old Dale son, Earnhardt Jr. Old son got a heavy right foot.
Doggone.
Yeah, so I mean,
boogity, boogity, boogity.
Yeah, let's go. We're going to miss that guy. I'm going to miss hearing that.
This one's for him.
Yeah, hey, this bud's for you. So, yeah, no, I mean, obviously, I hope I get the encounter with that deer. It would be a very hard thing for me at this point. If I could confirm that he was, you know, farm buck offspring, it would be extremely hard for me to not pull a trigger on him this year, to let him grow. Just with the unfinished... Nostalgia? The unfinished business that me and Farm Buck 1 had. I mean, I've talked to everybody that I know so far, and nobody has pictures of him. And so, I mean, I'm fairly confident he didn't make it through the year, which is sad. I mean,
didn't he get poked last year?
No, it wasn't him.
Okay.
It wasn't him. There was a picture circulating that the way the photo was taken very well, I'll say that. Mm. The buck looked a heck of a lot bigger than what it actually was. Yeah, like I think he was like probably behind him like 5 feet. So the buck looked giant and using one of them bubble filters. But it wasn't him.
The old fisheye.
Yeah. And I mean, unless, you know, maybe he got poked by somebody from out of town and, you know, never. I think that buck would have made some pretty big news. Like, this is a big deer. Like, that was, I'm not going to say record-breaking, but he would have for sure been in the fishing game show. For sure. He was big enough for that. But anyways.
Well, I was there. I didn't see him.
Yeah. So I'm 98% sure he didn't make it through the winter.
Well, they get old and there's a lot of predators around.
Predators. I think probably vehicle. That's what I was going to say. He probably got schmucked in his old age. That buck's got to be going on. That buck would have been going on 7, 8. That's old for a whitetail already, especially around here.
Especially a farm deer.
If you see a 4-year-old buck, shoot that thing on sight because it's not getting much older.
Well, we're not Michigan from the 70s yet. No, but
it's getting close.
Yeah.
But, no, so I mean, obviously I'd have a hard time not going full draw on that one and letting an arrow fly.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know, situations come up, right? And maybe my heart gets into it a little too much, and like it did with the farm buck in the first 3 encounters I had with him.
Ah, way she goes.
But it would be kind of neat to maybe close that chapter with a, not the one I was going after, but a very close second. Because he was big already.
Potential genetical similarities.
Yeah, you could match up them DNA strands.
Line them up side by side.
Identical.
Identical.
Shower thoughts?
I'm excited for this year. I'm excited for the season. I hope that I tag out before it gets too bloody cold.
Can confirm.
I'm really hoping my waterfowl season success continues. That is, that's my bread and butter, man.
That's why I called you the wingmaster.
That's what I've been blessed with.
Know how to kill waterfowl.
Know how to kill a bird. Know how to clean a bird. Know how to make a bird.
I've never had a bird you made.
I made some today, actually.
Yeah, I seen that.
A little bit of news here in the shower thought. I have a pellet grill now.
Oh, yeah. I guess the podcast listeners wouldn't know.
And I've been grilling all kinds all of different of domestic treats. And wild treats, including briskets.
Oh, a couple briskets.
Some chicken. You've had some of that chicken. Oh,
that chicken was dang good, son.
But
I roll over in butter for that chicken.
Ooh.
And that was butter free.
That was butter free.
Don't need no butter on my chicken.
That was however, right from the bone.
Might have to try that sometime. A little bit of butter chicken.
Oh, butter chicken. Like the orange butter chicken. You talking, or like just butter on chicken?
Just butter on chicken.
Oh, okay, because if you're talking butter chicken, I'm out, homie. I don't play. That's too spicy for me. That curry?
No.
I'm missing multiple days in the field if I'm.
I'm not talking curry.
But you want to stick a half a stick of butter and some dill on that thing? I'm talking about a little bit of that right to the bone.
A little bit of that, some of that real dairy product.
Oh yeah, not the margarine hitter.
No.
That's you can use margarine clean toilet. You know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can use margarine clean toilet. It's all oil.
It's edible, but
yeah, you'd eat it. Like I mean,
in a pinch. It's cheap. In a pinch.
Yeah, when I'm hunting, it's nice to bring because butter will just melt in your pack. But then you can have packed butter. Or liquid, butter pack.
Liquid form.
You're going to have a butter pack, yeah. And that's not something the fella wants.
Not really.
You want to try and keep all foreign substances out of your backpack. It's meat.
And that's not really a foreign
substance. And that's not that foreign. Anyways, that's what he's going for.
I'd say that's my shower thought.
Yep, my shower thought is...
Oh, and it's a Pit Boss.
Oh, yeah. Pit Boss Nation. That's all I got
to say. Pit Boss Nation.
My shower thought is I'm... After this conversation, I feel a little more fired up for the season. Feel like I'm probably ready to get back out there. Other than that, I'm excited to work on my boat.
Okay.
I'm excited to get that thing done. It's going to look so cool when it's done. It'll take some time. I got the winner. So, just a quick, really roundabout way.
I don't even know about this.
Okay, so all I'm doing is I'm cutting. Remember how long the back is, the unwasted space?
Yeah.
I want to cut that back, then replace the transom so it's solid. Remount that 45 on there.
Okay, I honestly thought you had said your bow.
No, I said
it sounded like you said bow.
Oh, no, my bow.
It's like, what?
No, my bow.
You're cutting your bow in half?
No, my bow was still for sale.
But you're going to hunt with it.
I'll hunt with it, and if it sells, it sells. If it doesn't, I'll sell it in the spring. I'll trade it in maybe on a new Matthews.
That Matthews. Hit us up, Matthews.
Come on, Matthews. I'm waiting. Yeah, work on the boat.
Yeah.
Mainly. Fish finder, some lights, new floor, that deal. Same bad news, same bad place.
I suppose. Well, I guess we didn't really stray from our original podcast format. But since it's in season, I mean, it's hard to... We have things to talk about.
Yeah, and we got a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
What do the kids say? It's been a minute.
It's been a
bit of a hefty minute, boys.
Yeah, it's been a fortnight even.
I'd say.
Yeah, hit us up on Instagram. Let us know what you're looking for out of the boys.
Yeah. Maybe I'll hit some Instagram stories the next few days or weeks.
Yeah, we'll get some stories going on what we're looking for and what you guys give us some input, maybe some questions.
Yeah.
You want to ask us.
We're going to give
you want to ask us about why we wear Under Armour
and why I run stuff.
I ask them that all the time. I believe you should run if something's chasing you. If nothing's chasing you, don't bother. I'm just joking. I've been running lately.
Whereas I say, well, I'm just going to run anyways because
I'm going to run for fun.
Because I actually enjoy
it. I do enjoy running when I do run.
That runner's high is a real thing.
It is, yeah. Yeah, it is. You feel good after. The only thing is that I always run late at night and I got a hard time sleeping after because I got to come down off it.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to ask us
why we've favorite color?
Yeah. Why we've never made it out to Montana hunting.
Because I'm broke.
Because we're broke.
Hang on, we can't give away all our answers.
No, we can't. Yeah, no. Ask us anything you want. We'll put up some stories on both our pages, all three of our pages.
Yeah.
Are
you still on...
No, that's... I've dropped that.
You have to delete that, though.
Yeah, I do have to delete that.
You should.
I should delete
it. I mean, if you're going to run it...
Well, I can't get into it anymore. That's the problem.
Yeah, but can't you still run your... You know, you forgot your password, put your email in there, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I probably could, yeah.
Yeah, you should do that.
Yeah.
Or just run it. Because you get your password back and run it.
Eh. I don't have time to run
it. I had a hard time running Flatlands Instagram for the time that we were off on podcasting.
Yeah.
Especially,
Yeah, see, you know what? I don't... I'll save this for another episode. I'll save the whole story for another episode. There's been a few things that I've been wanting to do with hunting that I haven't got into that might be changing this year, and it regards taking some time off from shooting animals with a bow to shooting animals with another object. I'll get into that maybe on another podcast.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
But, so for the most part right now, I'm going to drop Flatlands Field, or not Flatlands Field, Tall Oak Pursuit. That's going to no longer be me. I'm going to strictly work as myself.
T-Freeze31.
T-Freeze31 on Instagram.
You're the contributor to Flatlands Field NFL.
Yeah.
Send me some pictures, man. You get some good pictures of the field, send me. I'll post them.
Yeah, send us some good pictures. Send me something.
Jeff Martin's bow hunts. We're talking to you, old son. Hey, shout out. Big old shout out.
I didn't realize he was a pro staff member for which Broadhead company?
I think it's Odin's
Broadheads. Yeah. Congratulations.
I didn't know that.
I love the idea. And I actually had been very interested in those Broadheads.
Yeah.
I love the idea of
big them. Shout out to Jeff Martin.
Yeah.
Bohans.
Yeah. He'd be a great guest.
I think
so. We gotta work on getting him in.
Get a couple wobblies in there, boy.
Get it in there.
Get in there. This one's for you, Jeff.
Do it for Dale. shout out to obviously, I mean, Theo Vaughn this past weekend, Brennan Showers, King and Sting.
Hang on.
Well, I'm just going to wrap in. No.
What is it? What does he say that one time there?
It's Tree and the Shrub. Yeah, Trio Vaughn and Brendan Shrub. Barnyard Shrub, that's what he says. Trio Vaughn and Barnyard Shrub. Man. Yeah, shout out to those guys. We'll leave their Instagram handles in the Instagram post.
Well, it's Theo Vaughn and Brendan Shrub.
Yeah, you can find us. I'll tag them.
I'll be honest, I get a little lazy when I write descriptions.
That's okay.
And I forget what we talk about in the podcast.
Honestly,
sometimes.
Yeah, I almost got to listen to it again. Shout out to Stonebridge Auto.
Stonebridge Auto.
Our unofficial flagship sponsor.
I'm wearing the sweater.
He's rocking. That is a snazzy sweater. And be careful. That one might go missing, son.
Missing, old son.
Shout out to Jeff Martin Bowhunts.
Shout out to Cabela's, because Cabela's is kick ass.
And they're liking my ass.
Oh, I want to give a quick moment here to my cousin out close to Dauphin. Actually, both my cousins and my uncle, the Teasons.
All right.
Uncle Gerald, cousin Zach, and cousin Ashton. Bunch of good old outdoors fellas shooting big deers and good old waterfowls and
hearing the wapitis.
Hearing the wapitis out yonder.
Dang.
I can't even do it.
Man, I get to feel fired up.
Anything else? We're going to wrap this sucker up here.
Wrap it up. Nope. Keep fit. Have fun.
Keep hammering.
Keep your stick on the ice.
Finish your ribbons.
Finish your ribbons.
I haven't heard that one in a while.
That's been a coon's age since I've been finishing ribbons. We got to get into finishing a couple of ribbons yet.
Rebounds.
Yeah, I can't English today. There's a Flatlands Field foul throwback, son.
I can't English neither.
English. All right. We'll see you guys on the flip-flop.
Take it easy, old sons and daughters. I don't have any sons or daughters.
But I don't either, hopefully.
Away she goes.